Today might be the last day the way it looked for me.
So today's the day you're going to be really putting it on.
Well, I'm going to give it everything I got, you know. I know the dogs are there. You know, the dogs are physically able to do it. But whether the leaders will be there to string them out is another story.
And it was another story for 8-time Anchorage Fur Rendezvous sled dog race champion George Atla. His main leaders used on the first day of the race this year had to be dropped due to foot problems. And the leaders he had to use cost him some time on the trail, 30 seconds at one point. Ultimately, he placed fourth in a field of 16 finishers. And as he predicted, the second day of the race was the last. In the 34 years the race has been run, this was only the second time that a heat had to be canceled. The last time was 2 years ago when weather conditions again were unfavorable for the mushers and their dogs. The winner of the 1980 Anchorage Fur Rendezvous World Championship Sled Dog Race was Dick Brunk of Fairbanks in his first time out.
Dick Brunk, daytime, 82:35, 82:35. Total time, 166 even, 166 even. So Dick Brunk has picked up the pace and is now in the lead by 55 seconds overall.
So where's the champagne?
We've got one more day to go and a lot of bloody feet, so I don't think we'll pop any corks yet. I trained them just for this race, so they're doing just what I trained them to do. I'm proud of them.
Half an hour later, race marshal Dick Tozier announced that the third and final day of the race was canceled, and it was time for Brunk's victory celebration, a victory that came as a surprise to the Anchorage crowd. But Brunk, who has been racing for many years in Fairbanks, did very well in the lower 48 race circuit this year, placing in all the races he entered. One of his competitors down south, Harris Dunlap of Bakers Mills, New York, was also his closest competitor in Anchorage, finishing first on day one by 9 seconds and then losing by 55 seconds overall. Before the decision to cancel the last of the 3 days was announced, Dunlap reflected on the problems of finding good snow this year.
And we all sort of were like a bunch of gypsies this year, running all over trying to find training. So we came to Alaska to get some good snow here. And
look what happened.
Yeah, this isn't that strange. When we came in to the down Wednesday and were told about the conditions, I called the fellow that I work with at the University of Pennsylvania. It was a nutritionist that was going to come up here. And I told him not to come because there probably wouldn't be any race. So we were prepared not to race and when we came into town, actually.
You think that might have been a pretty good idea, given what's happening to dogs' feet and stuff?
Yes, I think we're going to be on the edge here tomorrow. If they ran here tomorrow, we might just bugger up some dogs to the point of not having, enough left for the season. It's one of those things that's really hard to make that kind of prediction, and it's something that, we're going to have to individually decide.
Right after coming in with a day time of 88.26 for the shortened 20-mile course, nearly 6 minutes behind leader Brunk, an angry George Atla had already decided. Think you're going to have to drop some more dogs tomorrow?
I'm going to drop them all.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, on conditions like this, a guy's a damn fool to hook dogs up, and I'm sorry to say I'm one of them.
You think you might drop out?
I'm definitely going to drop out.
You think the race should have been scrapped for this year?
I definitely think it should have been scrapped before it was run, but you can't very well blame the mushers, blame the officials, because us mushers should have had more sense than to hook up our dogs in conditions like this.
One of the mushers who had decided not to race was Harvey Drake of Fairbanks, a past winner of the North American sled dog race and one of Atla's chief competitors.
Well, I think George is making a decision for the future for the rest of the racing season. And he's looking at it from that viewpoint.
As it is, Atla is worried about the recovery of his dog's feet and having enough good ones left for the North American in mid-March, a race that Harvey Drake does plan to enter. Do you have any other dogs in your lot that might be replacements for the next races if these don't come through?
Yeah, I have some, but not as many as I need, because this team looked like, actually, this is my main team, I have a lot of young ones sitting back, that I was hoping to run next year. But I'm afraid they're going to have to start, running the races now.
They're going to have to run pretty fast to keep up with Brunk. On that first day out, the carabiner that connected his 16 dogs to the sled broke, and the race was almost over for him right there.
I never did lose a dog team before with the tow line breaking and get them back together. That was, that's something I'll never forget. The whole team was gone. I had to run down the trail, and the crowd caught them for me, and we put them back on, and We left.
Dick Brunks, the musher who left the others behind in the Fur Rondy race with a total two-day time of 166 even, followed by Harris Dunlap in 166.55, Roxy Woods of Rampart in 170.58, George Atla in 172.29, and Roland Lombard of Wayland, Massachusetts in 174.04. Rounding out the top 10 places were Charlie Champagne, Lester Earhart of Tanana, Marvin Cochrane from Fairbanks, Ramey Reddington of Nick, and in 10th place, Dick Moulton of Center Harbor, New Hampshire. Now it's anybody's guess if the cut pads and torn toenails suffered by the dogs will heal in time for the Fairbanks North American Championship race, and if the Fairbanks weather will cooperate to make for better trail conditions. I'm Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.
What's cabin fever? It's that feeling, that gut feeling that makes you want to just scream and tear your hair out and climb the walls.
Do you do that when you get cabin fever?
You bet.
I guess it's when the darkness is getting to me, at least. I don't think it's when the light comes back as much as when the darkness is all around. And you get up in darkness and you go to bed in darkness. You have dinner in darkness and you hardly see your nose and don't know how your clothes are and your teeth look or anything.
What is cabin fever?
Cabin fever is a supposed syndrome that affects people up here in the late winter about this time of year.
Does it affect you?
Of course not.
It's so cold up north till it burns, can't hardly fly. It's so cold up north till it burns.
Cabin fever is the end of February when you're sick of winter and everything and it's still around 0 or 10 below and you can't get out and do everything you want to do.
Cabin fever, man. That's when it gets too hot in the cabin and you're running a fever.
What do you do about this fever?
You open a door and let the cold air in.
Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing.
Oh, cabin fever is when you have innocent animals that you kick all the way across the room for no reason at all. You do this? No, I don't do this, but I've seen it done.
Do they have to be small animals, or does it matter what size the animals are?
I think it probably doesn't matter.
Staying at home in the dreary winter evening.
That's what you do?
Oh, no, that's what cabin fever is.
Do you get cabin fever?
No.
Well, part of cabin fever is being so depressed that you can't even get out of bed. You just pull the covers up over your head and you're a lump in the bed all day long until it gets dark again, in which case you are even more depressed because you've wasted the whole day not doing a thing. Does this happen to you? It happens to me, even on good days like Saturdays and Sundays when you could be out doing things. Does this interfere with your work? Well, in a way, I think of it as kind of a renewal. After I've done that for... oh, a whole weekend, I feel sort of refreshed and able to jump right in again. And
are you able to fit this into your social life?
That's why I'm still single.
The trees are bare, but I can feel the scent of roses in the air. It's June in January. Because I'm in love, but only because I'm in love with you.
Oh, go shopping. Do a little recreation. Sometimes go on a trip, like to Anchorage.
Does that take care of the problem?
It helps.
I was getting real fed up with carrying all the clothes around and generally being cooped up, because I want to get on my motorcycle.
What did you do for that cooped up cabin fever feeling?
Oh, once in a while I go out in the garage and mess around with my motorcycle and pretend, you know.
So if you just sat on it, it took care of that?
Well, that helped a little bit.
Do you get cabin fever?
Cabin fever? Mm-hmm. What's cabin fever?
Now you've listened to my story. Here's the point that I have made. Ticks were born to give you fever. Be it Fahrenheit or centigrade, to give you fever. When cabin fever is your living.
Karen McPherson in Fairbanks. Emil Noddy, president of Doyon Limited, the interior's profit-making regional native corporation, has announced his resignation. Noddy, long associated with the Alaska Native Land Claims Movement, is a past president of the Cook Inlet Native Association and the Alaska Native Foundation. He has been with Doyon for 3.5 years, first as senior vice president and then as president, a position he has held since April of 1978. But now Noddy plans to go on to something different. In April, he will be joining the Anchorage firm of Boney, Murphy, Simmons, and Stoll, doing, he says, executive search-type work. According to Noddy, it was, quote, time for me to move on. The decision, rather than being fully planned, was, quote, kind of spur of the moment, meaning he had thought about it for a couple of months. Doyon Limited will be holding a board of directors election and meeting on March 14th, so Noddy feels that now is a natural time to announce his resignation. There is enough lead time, he claims, for people to think about a successor. Karen McPherson in Fairbanks. Doris Loenig, District 20 Republican chairperson, expects a larger-than-usual turnout for the 42 caucuses that will be meeting at 7:30 this evening to select delegates to the district convention March 15th in Fairbanks. Usually between 3 and 5 people attend each caucus, but this year she anticipates there may be between 10 and 20. I asked her what those 420 to 840 people can expect at this evening's sessions.
As they come in, their name and address will be taken, and probably their phone number, since we kind of want a permanent record. And then we will look in the voters register to see whether or not they are registered Republicans. If they are not registered as Republicans, then we will question them as to what their party preference is, or as to what reason their name does not appear in the in the registration. If they tell us that they are Republicans, but they simply, for one reason or another, for some valid reason, their name does not appear, they will be asked to sign an affidavit. And if it appears that re-registration is in order to change from one precinct to the other, we're going to try and have enough registration slips for everyone. If they come and they say that they are either Democrats or non-party, then they are going to ask to be, before they can participate, they are going to have to declare themselves to be Republicans and change their registration.
A person who is registered as an independent or a Democrat who does not wish to change their party registration but does support a Republican candidate for president may not participate in the caucuses. But once Republican Party affiliation is confirmed, there are several things that must be accomplished.
The first thing is a discussion of issues in order that we can get that the party, the delegates who are eventually elected to the district convention, will have some idea of what issues are of concern to that particular precinct. Then I would anticipate that next they would have the election of delegates to the district convention. And those will be probably very much along the line of whoever is in majority as far as the various presidential candidates are concerned.
The number of delegates selected from each caucus varies in proportion to the number of votes cast for Congressman Don Young in the 1978 election, which Lohnig feels is probably as good a method as any for determining Republican strength in a particular precinct. Determining candidate strength is another matter.
If you want to be a delegate, you're very likely going to have to say, well, I am a Reagan supporter, I am a Bush supporter, I'm a Connally supporter, whatever. I'm pretty sure you're going to have to identify. Or you can say that I'm noncommittal, I haven't made up my mind yet. And that might be the safest thing to say.
In Anchorage, the Reagan campaign has been quite active, and there's been quite a bit of controversy over how much campaigning the Moral Majority has been involved with. Has this happened in Fairbanks
as
well?
Yes, it is happening in Fairbanks too, yes.
With specifically the Moral Majority?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Any other candidates actively campaigning here?
No, I don't think so. Bush probably is the next most active, but he has nowhere nearly the organization that the Reagan people have.
How about Connally with his teleconference?
I think he's making an impact. I hear some very good comment on his television appearance ads.
Do you think that the New Hampshire debates will have any effect on the caucusing this evening?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. There may be some people who were somewhat uncommitted who may go to the caucuses committed tonight.
Given the strength of the Reagan campaign here, do you expect that the Reagan supporters will emerge with the most delegates?
I'm sort of inclined to believe it, they may not be here.
Do you think that reflects the feeling of Fairbanks as a whole, or just as a result of that active campaigning?
No, I really do not. I really feel that if we were, if the organizations were equal, I would be a little inclined to think that Bush probably has an edge. Bush has been in the state on several occasions, including an appearance in 1978 at the state convention in Fairbanks. And his son, George Bush Jr., worked in Fairbanks one summer for Alaska International Air. Lohnig says Connally's problem is his lack of momentum, and she hasn't detected any support for Baker, though his votes may go to Bush supporters, and she feels Baker would not have been helped by Senator Stevens' proposed favorite-son candidacy. Regardless which candidate emerges with the most delegates, Lohnig stated that a Republican presidential candidate stands a better chance than a Democratic contender to garner Alaska's vote. I think he stands an excellent
chance because certainly Carter isn't going to get it with his lands position, and Kennedy is, if anything, has an even more restrictive lockup philosophy. So I think the Republican candidate will easily take Alaska, carry Alaska.
Because of the lands issue?
Because of the lands issue, yes.
Doris Lohnig, chairperson of the 20th District Republican Committee. I'm Karen McPherson in Fairbanks. Doris Lohnig, District 20 Republican Committee Chairperson, reported that last night's precinct caucuses in Fairbanks had a full house. Of the 42 caucuses, all filled their quota of delegates, and many also had full alternate lists. She attributed the large attendance to what she referred to as the moral majority machine, which produced Reagan supporters and churned out 231 delegates for Reagan of the 347 delegates all told. Said Lohnig, quote, "The traditional party workers are more for Bush and Connally, but we were overwhelmed." Results of a straw vote taken at the precinct caucuses, with 40 of the 42 reporting, showed 359 votes for Reagan, 123 for Bush, 108 for Connally, 54 for Crane, and 3 for Howard Baker. So Reagan got better than 3 times the number of votes captured by Bush. Although yesterday Lohnig stated that she felt John Connally's campaign lacked momentum relative to George Bush, who has made several trips to the state, today she said that Connally's television ads have been very beneficial, as the 15 votes separating Bush and Connally locally would attest. The straw vote was held in the hope that it would give Alaska national attention, particularly concerning the D2 issue, but Lohnig stated that so far the ploy hasn't worked. Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.